Habakkuk chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse 5 and go down through verse number 11, but our key verse is going to be number 5 this morning, and the subject is remember God is at work. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5, behold ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. But again, our key verse for this morning's lesson is verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time that we have in your house during Sunday school. I ask you to be with those unable to be here today. I ask you to be with those who are here today as they some continue to recover and continue in that healing process. And ask you to meet with us this morning. Ask you to be with the other Sunday school teachers and those who will hear those lessons this morning. Just ask you, Lord, to do a work in all of our hearts during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. After Habakkuk cried out to God about the sins of Judah, you remember, I believe we looked at some time ago in verse 3, the little word why. It's the question that no man can answer. Sometimes we ask why, and it's sometimes a question that we don't have answers to. But God told Habakkuk that he was going to use the Babylonians to bring judgment on the people of God. And to Habakkuk, this seemed like a bad situation that was suddenly becoming worse. If you think about this, there are times that you have been in prayer, you've gone before God, and we all have a solution in mind at times to what we are bringing before God. But God's solution ends up not being our solution. Habakkuk has to feel like that things are not going well and are about to get worse. However, in the midst of Habakkuk's trial, in the midst of this troubling circumstance, God gave him a promise, I will work a work. Now, this alone had to be an encouragement and a relief to the prophet Habakkuk. The only thing that gives us solace in the trial is that God is working. I tell folks all the time, and I try to remind myself of it also, to look for the hand of God. Whether you like what his hand is doing or not, look for the hand of God, because it does bring encouragement when we see his hand. Knowing that he's working and recognizing his hand tells us that he is working. I have this quote from Spurgeon up in my office. There's no attribute of God more comforting to his children than the doctrine of divine sovereignty. It is God upon his throne whom we trust. So be reminded today and throughout this life that we can trust God who has his hand in all things. You might say, I can't see God's hand. Well, it's there. I guarantee it. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. One of the things that jumps out to me from Romans 8:28 that I never or rarely hear discussed when this verse is being expounded upon, and that's time. All things working together for good takes time, and sometimes a lot of time. And at times we are impatient. We want all things to work together for good now. Philippians 1 and verse 6 speaks a little bit more of the time that is involved in all things working together for good, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is working in you. God is working in your family. God is working in this church. And praise God for his diligence in working on us and in us. But in getting back to Habakkuk, God told Habakkuk, I will work a work. So always keep in mind that God is working. God is always working. Now, I do appreciate that, and I'm very thankful for that when it comes to God, because that means that I can go to sleep in my situation, and I can go to sleep in my storm, and the Lord's not asleep. He's working on it throughout the night while I'm asleep. Now, I'm thankful for that, because God is always working. He's always awake 24-7. God knows what he's doing. He's always doing something. He's always in the middle of something. God has a plan. God has a goal. And we must know that in every situation, God is at work. No matter how hopeless we may feel, we can know that God is always at work in our lives. In Habakkuk 1 and verse 5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. The prophet Habakkuk cried out to God because it looked to him as if the wicked were winning. The wicked were getting ready to take captive the people of God, but it was not a loss in God's column because he always wins. This was judgment. This was God allowing something to come upon the children of Israel for a purpose. And you see, people need to know that when they step out of line with a holy God, that yes, he's compassionate, merciful, and long-suffering, but judgment will come lest repentance come in that life of the person. And even in repentance, consequences oftentimes follow. But God answered Habakkuk in Habakkuk 1, verse 5 through 11. We just read that. So we can be assured that when God spoke these words to Habakkuk, his heart was greatly troubled. The nation of Judah was spiritually bankrupt. Habakkuk was burdened about the sin of his own people. And God said he was going to use the heathen nation of Babylon to bring judgment upon his people. So keep in mind that the Babylonians, they were a heathen nation. They were a heathen people. They were corrupt. They were morally bankrupt. But God was going to allow the Babylonians to get the victory at this time over his people as judgment. But in the midst of this problem, God made a promise to Habakkuk. I will work a work. So this morning, we're going to look at three things in terms of remembering that God is at work. First off, we're going to look at the carelessness of God's people. God said he was going to do a work. And then this phrase here, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. The challenge is to not be careless in our faith. We can be like this. God's not wrong in what he's saying here. Lord's essentially saying, I'm doing a work, but even if I revealed it to you, you wouldn't believe it anyway. How many times are we like that? And I tell you, had the Lord told me before coming into the ministry, I'm going to have you pastor at Caesarea Baptist Church for 6 years, then I'm going to move you to Jacksonville, Texas. I probably wouldn't have believed it. Oftentimes, we got to see things. We have to see things play out. If we can ignore Scripture in our trial, if we can tune out the teacher of God or the preacher of God in our trials, if we can refuse to be ministered to because we don't want to be ministered to, we just want to be grumpy, irritable, and frustrated, then how could the phrase found in Habakkuk 1:5, which ye will not believe, though it be told you, not apply to us today in 21st century Christianity? Now, it was meant to be an encouragement. I will work a work. I am working. At this point, hands should go up in praise. Can't lose at this point. But oh, so often at times we can refuse to be encouraged. Our hearts and minds may be set on discouragement or having complaints on our lips or hearts filled with doubt. Although there's plenty of scripture to tell us that God is at work in our lives, plenty of scripture to encourage us in our trials. If we're open to encouragement, if we're willing to be encouraged, then this Bible is full of medicine for the soul. Now, to those in here, and for us as Americans even, God is working in your life. God's working in our nation. Even when it doesn't look like it to us, we know that He is. And this should encourage us if we allow it to. If we don't allow it to, then we find ourselves in the latter part of Habakkuk 1 and verse 5, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Imagine God saying, I'll do a good thing. But because we perceive it to be a bad thing, we don't truly, in our heart of hearts, believe that what God is doing and allowing is good. You know, even judgment has a silver lining. There are times that God judges and takes a life. There are times that God judges as He did Sodom. But usually with judgment from God, it is not only for punishment, but it is to get one's attention. That's the ultimate goal. We think about even our nation. I believe our nation is under a form of progressive judgment from God to get our nation's attention. And even though it may seem bad, good can come from judgment. But sometimes our minds are so set on the perceived bad of the situation that we don't believe God, even if He told us the good that was going to come from it. In Acts 13, verses 40 through 41, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. There is a group out there that live in complete and utter unbelief. If they don't want to believe, they won't believe the teaching, they won't believe the preaching that comes from the Bible and the Spirit of God, because it goes against how they feel, it goes against how they think, it goes against how they perceive things. God is the God of the impossible. It doesn't matter what you think is possible. He can change lives. He can answer prayers. He can still perform miracles. But at times we are so careless about our faith in God that we begin to doubt what God can do. And I have been challenged with this a lot, especially in the ministry. Because I meet things all the time in the ministry that I know it is beyond me. Now, I don't like encountering things that are beyond me, because then that means I need help. How many of you like to need help? If you recognize that you're in a place where you need help, then, that's a pretty sobering spot to be in. You're like, I can't do this. I can't do it anymore. It's not within me. And I never met so many things like that, it seemed, until I got into the ministry. And then once I get into the ministry, it's like everything's just one God-sized problem. This community that we're in, it's a God-sized problem. The Lord's going to have to do something. The Lord's going to have to work. In our church, it's a God-sized problem. There's nothing I can do. The ministry, I mean, and I told y'all about the Marines, and in the Marines, it's all flesh. It's all flesh. You do this, that, and the other, and you solve your own problems. You make your own way. You adapt. You overcome. And then at the end of the day, you sit back and you're like, oh, man, I did this. I did that and that and that and that and that. And you sit back and it's just pride. It's all pride and flesh. And then then you start walking with the Lord, and then you get into the ministry, and then you realize that, man, that all that's got to die. Every bit of that has to die. And then we're faced with God-sized problems. And again, we don't like that. We don't. For one, we don't like to ask for help by our nature. We like to work everything out. We like to figure everything out. And then we face something. There's something on our plate that we cannot solve. And we don't like it. But it's in those times when we're faced with those things that we give it to God. We give the problem to God. Not only the problem, but the solving of the problem. Sometimes we want to try and give the problem to the Lord, but still maintain a degree of trying to solve it. We're trying to tell him how to solve it. Here, I want to give this to you, but here's how I want you to work it out. Here's how I want you to do it. Instead of giving the problem and the solving of the problem to the Lord. But these times, they increase our faith. But at times we can be so careless about our faith in God that we begin to doubt God and what God can actually do. God's people at times have developed a carelessness that is alarming. If we're saved, we need to live as saved people. This world needs to see people who truly live the Christian life. This world needs to see believers that the Lord is working in their hearts and working in their families and working in the church. The community needs a church to see that the Lord's working in, that miracles are happening in. Number two, the cruelty of those who do not know the Lord. The Babylonians were the instrument of God's judgment. We read that in Habakkuk 1, verses 6 through 11. But God gives a description of the Babylonians coming down upon Judah. Again, most people think that God brings judgment in one sweeping blow, but remember, judgment's also progressive. I remember when I was beginning to run from the Lord. The Lord's that conviction at times was kind of subtle. Judgment began kind of subtle, and then it began to increasingly get more and more severe. Judgment is oftentimes progressive, though sometimes it can be instantaneous. There's been people who have gone out and tried drugs for the first time and overdosed the very first time. The very first time to try drugs, overdosed. There are those situations where sometimes judgment is instantaneous, but there are also times where it is progressive, which means it slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly just keeps creeping up on you. If you think one of these days God is going to judge our nation, then remember that we're also being judged now. It is progressive. We serve a merciful and long-suffering God. Therefore, he doesn't always just wipe everyone off the map as he did with Sodom, which that speaks to how bad Sodom actually was. I don't think we could accurately describe how bad Sodom was. I don't think there's a city in America that could compare to how bad Sodom actually was. But God dispenses his judgment at times in doses. He turns up the heat ever so slowly. Then one day enough is enough, and you see Judah fall from within because of sin long before she was conquered from without. So why is there such cruelty in this world? It's because people have turned their hearts from the true God. Habakkuk says that the Babylonians attributed their greatness to their gods, little g. They said that their gods were greater than the God of Judah. Unbelief was at the heart of Judah's judgment. Think of how her unbelief dishonors the true and living God. Notice also the compassion of our Lord. Never forget that our God is a God of compassion. No human being can get so far from the Lord that God does not still love them or desire to fellowship with them. In Luke 15, we find the story of the prodigal son who ran away to a far country. His father loved him dearly, looked for his son every day. But how did he go on living? His faith was in God. He knew God would work in the heart of his son. Most of us at times, we place our faith in wrong things. Faith in this person or that person, or maybe faith in news, or faith in presidents or Congress or whoever. We have misplaced faith so oftentimes and lose sight of the fact that God is at the head of it all. That God allows what he will. So our faith needs to be in him. And when our faith is in him, we can see bad things happen and know that God is going to use bad things to bring about his purpose, which will be good in the end. We think about the fact that Jesus is coming again. And he'll use good, bad, and all in between to bring out his purpose and his plan. Not only for his return, but to see souls come to know him. So I invite you to anchor your faith in the compassion of our God. God wants us to believe that he would accomplish and work out things in our lives that only he can do. Remember that God said, I will work a work. But also remember, he's not going to reveal everything to us. And some of that could be because we wouldn't believe him anyway. I've told people things before. They're in the midst of a trial. And they say, this is what I believe is going to happen. It's a good thing. And I believe the Lord's going to work it all out. And they say, I just don't see it. I just don't know how that could ever be. We all have a tendency to be this way. Even if the Lord revealed some grand thing, some grand outcome, some perfect situation at the end of our trial, we may not believe him anyway. You know why? Because there's gap from here to there. There's gap. So we wait. We watch. We observe God in real time, observing his hand. Then the portrait begins to start coming together. I'm reminded of that old song, and I tell you, there was a time at Caesarea, I was kind of struggling under the weight of it all, new pastor and everything, situations going on. I haven't gone into much detail with some of this stuff, but we had a trial going on, a criminal trial that I was a witness in, and it was a 3-year trial that we were involved in, and just going through that stuff as a church. So it was a difficult time. And one time I was in kind of a low spot with everything and we were dealing with, and just felt led to go to a revival meeting. And this revival meeting was 2 hours away. And I don't know why, I just felt like we needed to go to it. And it was a small church. It wasn't a big church that would have a whole lot of pull to it. It was actually it was an independent Baptist church, but it was a black church, and the theme of the conference was essentially reaching black America. So I said, well, that's interesting. And I felt like I needed to go to that meeting. And so I asked my wife, I said, you want to go? I know it's 2 hours. It starts at 7 o'clock and it'll be a late night. And I don't even think we got home till about 1 o'clock in the morning from that meeting. But I felt like we needed to go. And a song had been on my heart, and it was this one. We will understand it better by and by. And I got to thinking about that, and it had been on my heart for several weeks. And I didn't know why the Lord wanted me to go to that meeting, but we went to that meeting. And there was a couple specials, and then 3 men got up, a trio, and sang this song. And it was the Lord using that to speak to me during that time. And you know what? Leaving the house at, I don't know, probably 3 o'clock, because we went to go eat too. And then getting back at probably 1 was well worth it, just for the Lord to speak to me. And I was reminded of these words this morning. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we may not understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eyes, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll better understand it by and by. Temptation, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. I'm thankful for the day that is coming when we will understand everything better. There might still be some things that the Lord don't tell us all of, but we're going to have a better understanding of everything. And those things that we might not have a better understanding, we might not know about it or even care about it at that point. And I was reminded even throughout that time of the importance of hearing from God. We will do whatever necessary to hear the Lord's voice. We will. We'll go the length. We'll go the extra mile to hear the voice of God. And it is important. We're getting done a little short today. We'll have some time to fellowship here in a little bit. Lord, as we come before you, thank you.